Blog Talk Radio.
Monday in the swamps of Jersey. We will have TJ Harrigan, the fantasy editor for MLB.com on in a couple minutes. There's also golf's longest day, sectional qualifying, U.S. Open. Lee Jansen has made his way back to the U.S. Open. Bryson DeChambeau is going to probably go to the U.S. Open, the guy who won the NCAA title, and some good playing also in various places, including Billy Hurley III. Jason Allred is playing well down in Dallas. And Casey Martin was on the leaderboard up in Washington for a while. Let's take a quick look here. Casey right now. It's two over as he plays the second nine. This is only for three spots, so he's going to have to get a couple birdies coming in if Casey Martin wants to go back to the U.S. Open in the Pacific Northwest. But this is not about the U.S. Open. This is about Tiger and Adam Fonseca, who writes for Fonseca, who writes for GolfUnfiltered.com, and I ended up in a nice, friendly, heated discussion on Twitter last night over Tiger. So let me give my thoughts here, and then we'll play TJ and talk about the Yankees. What happened to Tiger this weekend, 85-74 is not normal, not good, not a positive. It's not good, period. Not a good sign for anybody. But this was less concerning to me than what happened at Scottsdale and at Torrey. Because there it was the short game. And you rarely hear about long game yips. Driver yips do exist. Hank Haney has those. But you hear a lot about putting yips, chipping yips, short game yips. And, yes, he hit some squally short game shots. But overall, Tiger's short game has been fine since Augusta. He put on all the work. He got there at Augusta. Tiger, and Jason Sobel talked about this on ESPN.com today. Tiger is somebody who takes a while to master swing changes. 12 months, 18 months, 24 months, it's varied over the years. And that's what we're in the midst of. It was late 2014. He's been injured. He had the back. He has a blister on his finger. It's going to shut him down for a couple of days. Tiger's had this problem, this problem, this problem, this problem. He has not been able to put in the work that it takes to master a swing change. Any one of us who have played golf over the years know how tough it is to master a swing change. So I don't believe it's right and proper to judge Chris Como until Tiger says he's stopping the process, until he's no longer going through the process or implementing new moves or changes. Number two, we need to give Tiger health. Tiger is about to enter playing five times. This week was the start. Sorry. The U.S. Open is the start of playing five times in 10 weeks, basically. And if he can somehow win or up his world rankings, he'll play a sixth if he can get in the Firestone. This is the best stretch for Tiger to play tournament golf, get the tournament reps he needs, and hopefully have practice at home. What so many forget about Tiger is that when the scandal happened, he was given an edict, not just from himself, not just from Elon, not just from his management, not just from his mom, not just from the people around him, but from a judge overseeing that divorce to be a good father and to uphold his parent responsibilities. And this is what it's going to take. If he's taking weeks off during the height of his kid soccer season, that's what's going to happen. Tiger's game is going to suffer because he can't put in the reps because he's got to watch Charlie and Sam play soccer. This is good. We should be applauding Tiger for doing what a judge and what societal morals and norms think he should be doing. It's going to take a while. It's going to take 12, 18, 24 months. And to snap Judge Tiger based on a certain week and on a certain day, especially in the long game, is, I believe, dangerous and inappropriate. I understand those who say time's not on his side. I understand those who say it's been 5 years since he last won a major. 7 years since he last won a major. Wow. I understand all those who think, wow, this is not pretty. This is not sexy. What is wrong with Tiger Woods? I get all that. But we need to give him time, we need to be patient, and we also need to let Tiger be the father of an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old that he should be, that a judge has said, not that Tiger's just doing this because a judge has said it, but I think people forget sometimes when it comes to divorces, you're being overseen by a court of law, so you really do have to uphold everything that the court of law says that you need to when it comes to your parent. So, rights, especially with joint custody and not full custody. So he's got these responsibilities. He's doing everything right. And if his body stays healthy and if he stays healthy, hopefully he should be able to do what he needs to do. Do I think he'll win next week at the U.S. Open, which we'll obviously preview here on Teeing It Up next week? I don't. I think the PGA is the earliest we could see him win, and he's going to run into a problem here of lack of reps. He's going to get the Fives.com open because he's one of the turkey stamping, but he's going to have 4 or 5 weeks off there unless Jay Haas picks him for the President's Cup team, where he will need to find a way to keep his game sharp. But I think Tiger will be fine. I think he'll win again. I think he'll be fine. And I think a lot of people are way, way, way too concerned about Tiger and making some snap judgments. I understand it. I respect it. I disagree. And that's my thoughts on Tiger Woods.
And it's time to talk Major League Baseball. We're going to welcome in the fantasy editor for MajorLeagueBaseball.com, Mr. Thomas Harrigan, to Teeing It Up. Hello again, TJ.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good. All right, let's start with the Yankees. This is an interesting scenario because the Yankees, if you listen to talk radio, if you read Twitter, if you talk to people who are fans, it's almost like some Yankee fans have more complaints about their team than they do compliments, but somehow the team is 7 games over .500 and in first place by a game and a half. Yes, the AL East is weak, but still, this team is playing good baseball.
I'd say so. It's probably because they're an inconsistent team. They can go through, as we've seen in the past couple of weeks, they go through these spells where they can't hit, they can't do a lot of things well, and then they come back and they win, they just reeled off 6 straight wins. So it's, you know, I mean, that happens a lot when you got a team that relies so heavily on the home run. But, you would think the team is worse based on some of the things that are being said.
And it's weird, too, because even after Jacoby Ellsbury went down and Gardner and Ellsbury was this great 1-2 at the top of the lineup, Yankees have still fought through, and they've gotten some good timely pitching. I think Tanaka coming back really came at a good time to them, especially with Ellsbury still out.
Yeah, he's going to be the key. He's going to be – this team's going to go as far as Tanaka can take them because, as much as – Pineda, as good as Pineda has been, he can't do it all by himself, and I don't see another guy on the in the rotation stepping up as an ace besides Pineda and Tanaka giving them the 1-2 punch. So it's going to be on Tanaka to stay healthy and deliver ace-like numbers.
What's interesting for me is that so many people thought and a lot still think that Tanaka should have gone and gotten the Tommy John surgery, and that he's still at this point where at any given moment things could go bad. What was your take last year on if he should have gotten the Tommy John? And now here, are you still concerned that at any given moment, there could be a tweet saying he's done?
I mean, obviously, 2020 and everything, but I think at the time they should have just kind of realized, been more realistic about their team last year. And, you know, I mean, obviously saw the best some of the best doctors in the world that gave him the go-ahead to not get the surgery, but they should have been more realistic about it. I think they were trying to save him for in case they could possibly get into the playoffs, and I think they should have been more realistic about that. It just had him had the surgery, rehabbed, and got back by, he could have been back possibly by this July or even August. And they probably should have done that because obviously, like you said, he said in spring training he wasn't, he felt a little different. He was trying to pitch a little differently because he couldn't cut loose with certain pitches and stuff like that. So, yeah, he probably should have just did the surgery, but at this point you might as well just go through it and pitch until he can't anymore at this point.
Talking with TJ Harrigan about Major League Baseball and the Yankees. Alex Rodriguez, are you more surprised that he's batting .280? Are you more surprised that he's gotten 11 home runs? Are you more surprised that he's walked 29 times? Or are you more surprised that he has behaved himself perfectly thus far?
I'm not surprised about the behavior aspect. You know, I think this is a guy that, look, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if anything came out about him at this point, but I think this is a guy that doesn't want to turn into Pete Rose where he can't ever be part of baseball ever again. And so that's why I think he's legitimately happy to be playing again. Say what you want about him, but I think I think it's well documented that he greatly enjoys actually playing and watching baseball and everything, and he's just a big fan of the game. And I'm not surprised about, I probably am most surprised about the .280, to be honest. I mean, I thought he was going to have a hard time catching up to certain pitchers, but he's looked great so far. I mean, obviously the 11 home runs are a little more than what anyone could have expected, but he's always delivered great power, so it's not like that far-fetched. So I would say the 280 batting average is probably the most surprising thing. And the fact that he's played 54 games already is pretty surprising as well.
Yeah, it's a good point. You know, what's interesting is so many people thought that the year away would be detrimental. It's almost like the year off kind of rested his body, and he's been able to do more as a rested player versus a rusty player.
It is, and he had another hip procedure like 2 years ago, I guess.
Yeah.
He had the game time to rest again, and who knows if he'll break down at some point, but yeah, it does look like he came back rejuvenated and ready to hit, basically. His bat is a little faster than when he left, and he's given them more than anyone could have ever expected, times two.
Now, part of the reason why the Yankees are also so good is that their back end of the bullpen is unbelievable. And the combination between Miller and Betances. Betances has a 0.29 ERA. He has given up one run and 11 hits in 31 and a third innings. Let's start with him. We saw glimpses last year of how good he's been. They let David Robertson go. Did you ever expect Betances to follow it up this year with these type of numbers that he's putting up?
I expected him to dominate again. I don't know if I could say I expected him to have an ERA in less than one and have given up one run, but, I mean, just the stuff that he displayed last year, I mean, there was always the chance, based on what he did in the minors, that he was going to come back and struggle a little bit with certain things. His control is a little spotty, but the stuff that he has, it's just... And the Yankees pitching staff and the Yankees as an organization in general have been always very good about developing, you know, bullpen guys. They seem to always come up with a few guys. So I think they are well equipped to, you know, handle whatever inconsistencies he has in his repeating his delivery and things that go along with being 6'8" and throwing 100 miles an hour. And But I expected him to follow up with another dominant year based on the stuff that he has.
Talking with TJ Harrigan. TJ, I'm curious from a fantasy perspective. Bullpen guys are kind of odd because, you know, they're fragile. They can have inconsistent appearances. How popular is Betances and how popular is he versus Andrew Miller on fantasy teams? Because these guys are fantastic commodities, but all bullpen guys are fragile.
Right. Well, Miller is the better guy for fantasy because in standard format, the saves is an actual category. So when the guy's getting saves, whereas Betances doesn't get any, he has two, but can't rely on him for saves. So Betances is more of a working for fewer categories for you. But he still is a guy that's actually delivering value based on, Girardi runs him out there so often as well, and he has 53 strikeouts, which is more than some, mid-level starters at this point. Guys that have thrown way more innings than that.
Right.
So, I mean, and it also depends on the format, fantasy format you're playing. I mean, some leagues are better where middle relievers have more value. But yeah, Miller's, I think in most, Miller's more popular in terms of having fantasy value.
17 saves for Andrew Miller. His ERA is 1.04. This Yankee team gets Ivan Nova back sometime soon. Obviously, that'll be a big boost to the rotation. Do you think the Yankees can keep this going? And come trade deadline time, do you think they will be looking for something and buyers? Or you think they're going to try to run this general same group of guys out there through the end?
I mean, obviously you can never count out the Yankees to make a big splash, but I wouldn't be surprised to see them not make a huge move this year. I wouldn't be surprised if they stuck with this group and added, another infielder or a bullpen guy to slot in, because the seventh inning's been a mess. I could see them. I mean, maybe moving Warren back to the bullpen is a move that they make, but I don't know if they're gonna end up making the big move, whereas they like to bring in a Cole Hamels or something. I don't know if they have the prospects for that. I don't think they do. So they might just try to just bolster what they got. Hope they their guys stay healthy and just go for it with what they got. Because I mean, the teams that have won the last few years, you don't have to have dominance from top to bottom. You can try to put things together for a nice October run with what you got.
Talking with TJ Harrigan here about Major League Baseball. TJ, if you look at the Major League Baseball standings on an overall basis, obviously the Yankees are in first place, but the Mets are as well. This is a Met team that just keeps fighting through injuries after injuries after injuries, and here they are in first place by half a game over the Nationals. Do the Mets, in your opinion, have enough to keep this going, even with all the guys banged up, including David Wright, who won't be back anytime soon?
I think the pitching, with the pitching they have, they're going to be in it right till the end. I think they're going to go right down the last week, contending for the division. I think they can. I really think they can compete even with the injuries and the. They've been wrecked, especially on offense. They've been wrecked by injuries. I mean, they're gonna get Darno back soon, so he's gonna be a big help behind the plate. Who knows about Wright? Obviously, that would be a huge boost if they can get Wright back. But and Murphy as well just went down. But the offense isn't gonna be great. It's just they're gonna have to ride the horses, but they have the horses to ride, so. I think they can compete right till the last week of the season.
In the Central, the Twins have a one-game lead over the Royals. The Astros are in first place, which we'll get to in a second, by 3.5 games. The Cardinals, as they always are, have a 6.5 game lead over the Pirates, and the Giants and the Dodgers are in a log jam out west in the NL. The Houston Astros, the laughing stock of baseball for all these years. Why? Tell the people who may not be following baseball closely, why have the Astros suddenly have gone from a laughing stock to first place by 3.5 games?
Well, they have a lot of power. I think they're leading the baseball in homers, and they did a lot to bolster their bullpen. I think last year they were better than people think they were. I think they kind of were mediocre more than terrible as they were the year before. They were the worst team in the league. Last year they were kind of in the middle of the pack, and they blew so many late leads. They went out and got a couple of bullpen guys this year to bolster their bullpen, and I think that's been a big help. And then you've got Dallas Keuchel, who might end up starting the All-Star game. He's been phenomenal. But he doesn't strike out a lot of guys, so maybe he's not a guy that people are going to pay that much attention to, but he's one of the big reasons. But I think they swing for the fences, and the ball's been going over so far for them.
And obviously, when you run into a situation like this, the next logical question always is, can they keep this up into September? Do you believe that the Astros have done enough and added enough pieces to keep this going?
I don't think they're going to contend right till the end of the year. I think they may. They're a great story so far, but I don't know. I think they're going to fall off eventually. They strike out so much. And while they do hit a lot of home runs, the hitters they have are some nice pieces. Now, that could all change if Carlos Correa, who just got called up, their top prospect, former number one pick, if he comes up and is a superstar right away, that could be the piece that keeps them in contention all year. But their rotation's a little lacks depth, and they strike out a lot on offense, so I could see them slipping. But the division's not that strong, so they could compete, for a wild card right to the end. But I don't think they're serious contenders.
Talking with Thomas Harrigan about baseball tonight, TJ, is the MLB draft. It doesn't get the notoriety that drafts in the other three sports do. I am not about to ask you to give me in-depth, preview let me try that again. I won't ask you to preview the draft for me, but I do want to know, why should teams or why should fans be paying attention to this? Because so many fans, I think, see these drafts and say, oh, these guys are 4 or 5 years off. These guys can't help me now. And some of these guys obviously get drafted and then they go back and they play for their college teams. It's almost like this is the eternal spring, but yet it's the eternal spring that you won't see until 2020 or 2019, stuff like that.
Yeah, that's the problem. I don't think you're ever going to see huge interest in the draft, in the MLB draft. It's just the guys, it's so long to come around. And I mean, there's been a lot of prospects making a big impact this year already, but how many years did they take to make it? At least two. They usually take, and just in this culture that we live in, everyone wants to see results right away. So it's kind of hard to tell people to watch a guy that might be good down the road, especially when there's no givens. I mean, there's no givens in any draft, but the number one pick a lot of times doesn't even ever become a star, so or even make the majors. I mean. So that's the problem with that.
Obviously, being MLB's fantasy editor for MLB.com, you watch a lot of baseball. Here we are, 2 months in. How would you grade the pace of play things that have been implemented so far this year?
I think any method that they are going to use to speed up things is good. I think they've been shaving some time off. It's probably as good as they're going to get it without instituting a clock, I think. I mean, it's not like intrusive where things are so changed now that it's really, like, disrupting people's enjoyment. I think it's kind of subtle things that they're moving the game along. You don't even realize it. But anything they can do to make these games a little bit shorter or good and get more people to watch, because, you know, baseball games could be a 3.5-hour commitment sometimes, especially if you're watching the Yankees and Red Sox game. They could be very long. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with a two and a half hour baseball game. Could be just as entertaining and even more so most of the time than a 3.5 hour game where there's so many walks and stuff like that. You like to see some nice crisp play, and you know that's gonna be just as enjoyable.
Talking with TJ Harrigan here. TJ, who is the guy of all the games you've watched this year, who's the most, and this can either be from a fan perspective or from a fantasy perspective, who has been the most underrated guy? Who should people be paying more attention to that they're not?
I'd say Paul Goldschmidt, from a fantasy perspective, he's a superstar. People know him, but I think the casual fan doesn't, you know, regard him as like one of the top five players in the league, and he is. He's hitting .343, and he's been doing this for a few years. He's in .343. He's getting on the base at a .468 clip, and he's slugging .657. He's got insane numbers, and he's been doing it for 3 or 4 years now at this pace, so at this level of play. But he's really he's taking it to a whole even newer level this year. And, you know, like I said, fantasy owners know him well, but people that don't really play fantasy might not regard him as a top-tier guy, and I think he absolutely is.
Best team you have seen this year is?
Best team? Well, Cardinals have the most wins, but I've been pretty impressed by the Dodgers, actually. I think they've got so much depth, and they've just got a lot of depth. I think that's going to come. It's going to help them as the season wears on. They've just got guys they could just plug in everywhere that are going to hit home runs and hit 300. And of course, they've got plenty of pitching, and they've got some guys fill in. They've had a lot of injuries in their pitching staff, but they've got the two aces at the top. And I think the Dodgers are going to be end up with probably the best record.
Which, of course, will start the conversation about why Clayton Kershaw cannot win come playoff time.
Oh, of course.
They'll just be clockwork. Hey, Dodgers are the best team. They're the ones we're picking to go to the World Series. Boom, Clayton Kershaw. It's time to see if you've gotten past your playoff issues. It's just a script that'll keep on scripting until he flips it.
Yeah, no, it was so amazing last year that he dominated for most of those games, and then he had one bad inning that kind of just continued the script. And whereas, you know, the interesting thing is if he gets removed an inning earlier, then maybe people start talking differently, like, oh, Clayton Kershaw's conquered things now, but he stayed in an extra inning and gives up the home run, gives up a bunch of runs in game one, and the narrative continues. So it's just interesting how things could be a little different based on the managerial moves.
And that, you know, puts the pressure back on, you know, somebody else, you know, and it's so, and that speaks to how sometimes the player gets blamed when it's actually the manager who should be blamed or vice versa, you know. It's yes, he has to make the pitches, but it's ultimately up to the manager to figure out when the guy should be pulled.
Right. I mean, I can't blame Mattingly, though, for leaving him in that game where he gave up the home run to Adams, which is a guy that never hit a lefty pitching well. And Kershaw dominates lefties, and especially with the pitch that he threw him. It was just shocking. I can't blame Mattingly for that one.
TJ Harrigan, fantasy editor for MLB.com. You can see his work every day on the Major League Baseball website. Thanks so much, as always, for joining us on Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling.
Thanks for having me. Great to talk to you.
We're done. See you next week.